My main message was, please join us on the journey to Mars. It is a global exploration, and we will have astronauts. I call it Boots on Mars in the 2030s, and we're looking for partners from all over the world, the large, the small nations. We have everyone very excited, especially the next generation. I call them the Mars generation, because it'll be someone in high school or maybe college today that will actually be the first Martian astronaut. It's all about global, peaceful exploration.
So the old dynamics of the 1960s and 70s space race between the U.S. and the former Soviets, those are long gone.
Yep, that's no longer a space race. Now it's really about global exploration. And the best example is between, I think, the U.S. and Russia. We're famous partners. We've been working together for the last 16 years continuously, 24/7. With our astronauts and cosmonauts up on the International Space Station. And we have five main partners. So I mentioned the U.S., Russia, Japan, Canada, and ESA, the entire European Space Agency.
In the last decade or so, there has been a sort of commercialization, hasn't there, of space technology and space travel. We've seen companies like SpaceX and Virgin Galactic appear. What do you think the UN response should be to this commercialization?
I think we all embrace it. We are very excited. For NASA, it's public-private partnerships. And so we're investing in our private sector. As a matter of fact, the development of our space launch system is our next heavy lift launch vehicle that gets us to moon orbit and then onward to Mars.
The UN's obviously pushing very much its 2030 agenda for sustainable development. I mean, sustainable development seems to be all about life on Earth. Is there a space dimension too?
Absolutely. Think about it this way. First thing we learn in space, in our isolated, confined environments, is how to be sustainable. You're talking about being off the grid. All you need to do is go into a space capsule. So there really are huge benefits in terms of the technologies that we're investing in and the learning in terms of complete sustainability, complete closed-loop life support systems in terms of air and water. So take all the great challenges that we have as humans, clean water and energy, things like that. There's always dual use, and we really do focus quite heavily as well as what's the Earth application.
What do you think are the most pressing issues facing the international community when it comes to looking at the future of human space exploration?
It's very long-term visioning. That's why I love the UN's 2030 vision. That's exactly what it takes. Again, at NASA, that's what we're thinking about. Be in the decade of 2030s until we can get humans to Mars. So we have to have this very sustainable, affordable, and long-term view. You have to stay the course and be very focused, make those investments and be excellent.
And how, in your view, does the UN Office for Space Affairs need to be reshaped or enhanced?
So I think there's a lot of lessons learned, the promising practices that we can share. Trying to be creative, looking at innovation. We can't do things the same old way if that's not sustainable. So to be sustainable, that's where we look for the new partnerships and public-private and with the UN. And again, thinking about the UN Space Plus 50, it's amazing that we're getting to celebrate 50 years hence. So it's really an exciting anniversary coming up in 2018 and looking at those targeted goals for 50 years. And then for UN COPIUS, we're close to 60 years. It's pretty amazing since 1958, as long as NASA has been in existence, coming on 60 years of celebrating of the entire world, really the UN working together, working with all spacefaring nations and all nations who desire to be spacefaring.
NASA in the US, of course, has set its sights, as you said earlier, very firmly on Mars. I mean, why should the international community go with you on that journey?
Why Mars? Because we're looking for past evidence of life. We have very enduring questions for exploration. We're guided by, are we alone in the universe? Are there other habitable planets? And was there past life on Mars? These are the enduring questions, because it's NASA's horizon goal. But again, not one nation, not one space agency. We really look at it as global participation. So we're just being very clear about our vision and articulating it. That's why I'm here today.
At a time when there are such huge challenges facing us here on the planet, and thinking of course in terms of things like conflict and climate change and a refugee crisis, can we really afford to be setting our sights on Mars internationally?
Yeah,
speaking,
must. I think we must afford it, the investment, not just in dreams and imagination, but we're turning imagination into reality. So with all of the conflict, let's talk about soft diplomacy. Let's talk about how great the partnerships are in International Space Station. Maybe politically is more difficult, but the U.S., Russia, Japan, all of our five nations, all of Europe, European Space Agency, Canada, we all work together and we all depend upon one another. And so it's really an example. We think of space as being an example of what can be accomplished through the peaceful uses of outer space.
So you would say that we're reaching for the stars, but there are tangible benefits back here on Earth for us all.
The return on investment for the Earth is even more shattering. Again, you have to make the early investments, but we're changing minds and hearts, we say, but then the technology investments are the reality of the exploration, again, on our mission, but the Earth benefits. They're always dual-use technologies. So back to the UN and COP21 at NASA, our Earth science portfolio is quite extensive, a couple dozen Earth-observing satellites every day, every minute, every second. We're looking at climate. We're looking at ocean, sea temperature. We're looking at soil, you know, in the terrain. So we're studying Earth with all of our sister agencies and across the world and sharing that data. That data is open. You know, it's open government. It's completely free. So the world depends on a lot of this, you know, kind of eyes in the skies. That orbital perspective on Earth is critical. And same thing for disasters and natural disasters. We'll put all of our assets right on that. That's also how we can all benefit, but how we can all work together, especially in the time of crisis.